Monday morning, 9:30, it must be time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I have my invisible apron on.
Ooh, yeah, it's a stealth apron.
It's my summer apron. And actually, it turns out to be my ice-deflecting apron.
Oh, my gosh.
Haven't we had some
kidding.
Weather?
I broke down and made beef stew. That's how much I don't believe it's spring.
I went to the store this morning before coming here, and I bought a chuck roast for exactly the same thing. I'm like, it's not too late.
No, it's not. We need the warmth. I huddle around the stove for a few hours. It's crazy.
Oh, it sure is. So today's episode is going to be about snow cones. We should be talking about salad and gazpacho, but no, we're going to talk about snow cones.
Did you ever make them when you were a kid? You grew up in snow country.
Yeah, no, that's the funny thing, because we didn't make it out of snow because you never know where somebody peed, you know?
Yeah.
But and that's a good reason. But I left the door ajar in my freezer, the drawer. I have one of those top...
Oh, yeah.
French refrigerators, bottom drawer freezers, and I left it ajar, so my ice cube drawer became like an ice cube. And I had this idea that I could make shaved ice, and this is just to let you know the state of my brain. So I got out my vegetable peeler.
Oh my gosh.
And I was seeing if I could just shave ice, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it melts like in, you know, 3 seconds after you do that, and you just have a puddle.
Yep.
But just the fact that I even tried, you know, that I didn't have the capacity to think, no, this won't work, Linda.
Maybe we should. Maybe that just speaks well of you, that you're willing to venture there and see. You know, it's adventurous.
From now on, I'll just close my freezer.
We used to make snowballs.
Yeah.
And put maple syrup on them and eat them.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
It makes your mittens really sticky.
All my parents had was bourbon.
Oh, well, that would be good adult snow.
It would work.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, I'm hoping for no more snow. I don't know about you. But in the meantime, I made some really good beef stew that I had not tried the recipe of before, and it was delicious.
Really? What was anything different
extra
about it?
Extra good, and it was a chuck roast.
Okay. I think that makes the best beef stew.
I do, too.
Even something super close like a cross rib roast, it's too stringy. The chuck roast, just it's so melty. It's so melt in your mouth. It's just good.
Yeah, it was really good, really tender, and this particular beef stew was a stovetop simmer. It wasn't like a braise in the oven, although it would work, I guess, but I really liked it. And the other thing that was interesting about it was that they called for salt pork to be rendered in the pot to start with.
Okay.
And I used just bacon, but they said whenever, you know, at the end when the fat is all rendered out and you just have the little solid crispy bits mm-hmm. in there, take them out and get rid of them.
Okay.
Throw them away.
Get rid of them.
And I didn't throw them away
no.
because really. And
you have
so,
a husband and a dog.
Well, I thought about the dog, and then I was making mashed potatoes to put, and I just tossed them in the mashed potatoes, and it was really delicious.
What
so
a good
there,
idea, yeah.
It was good. But the thing that I really liked about this particular stew was cognac and two kinds of mustard. And
oh,
it
no.
just made it really delicious.
Okay.
Well, it was actually cognac, red wine, and whole grain mustard and Dijon mustard. A lot of mustard, like a half a cup of Dijon.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
And 4 tablespoons of whole grain mustard.
Where did you find the recipe?
It was a New York Times.
Okay.
And well, it was just
you know,
really good. Yeah, I know, although I did one of theirs recently, and it was just terrible.
Oh, really?
But it was the only one I've ever found that wasn't good,
okay.
And I wondered if it was a typo or something. Anyway, this one just had carrots and mushrooms in it, but the whole beef stock and mustard and cognac and red wine and simmer for 4 hours was just... you know, and the usual cube the meat, dust it in flour, brown it,
okay,
and then put everything together and put a lid on it and forget about it.
Okay. Usually when it says to simmer it on the stovetop, I just put it in the oven anyway because I'm worried about burning it. It's on the stove for so long, yeah. You know, and I know I'll forget. And I'm actually really impressed that when it said to discard the bacon that you just didn't. I mean, if I was reading that recipe and I got that far, and that's at the very beginning of the method, you know.
The first step.
Yeah, I would just be, next! There's just no way.
Well,
I just stopped.
I'm glad I pulled it out because yeah. I think it would have been saltier. But and I loved that the shallots and onions were basically just sweated mm-hmm. in bacon fat. I mean, yeah. Why would you not
That's
like
so
that?
Old school. Yeah. Yeah. That's why my grandmother's everything was so delicious. You
I know. And then they had me add a little butter to the bacon fat and brown the meat. I mean, I'm like, whoa, we might as well have bacon mashed potatoes with this. In for a penny, in for a pound.
No, but it that's was great. And really it sounds good. Really good. It sounds really luxurious. It sounds yeah. really good.
It was a good, very cold day thing to do. It's the only sad part was that it was a very cold day in April.
What's the title of the recipe?
It's called Dijon and Cognac Beef Stew.
You know what? I think I might do that with that chuck roast that I bought. That just sounds really good.
You should try it. Yeah. And anybody else who wants to try it that might be listening, if you go to New York Times Cooking and look for Dijon and mustard or Dijon and Cognac Beef Stew,
yeah,
that's where it is.
By Regina Schrambling. Yeah, that's really good. Well, speaking of braising, simmering on the stove, how I do it in the oven so I don't burn it, I made a rack of pork a couple nights ago.
Really?
And which Dale is now referring to as the wreck of pork.
Oh,
Ugh, you know, they always have them at holidays in the store, racks of pork. So they're just like a prime rib roast, you know, but pork instead of beef. And they've got the eight bones, and they're pretty showy, and I think they're also delicious. What it is it's like pork ribs with the loin still attached. That's what it is. So you got to be a little careful when you cook it because you know how loins can cook up just so deliciously dry.
Yes.
Anyway, when I cook ribs on the grill, what I do is I have a propane grill and it has four burners. So I will turn two burners on low and leave two burners off. I just put some seasoned salt on the ribs. You know, I pat them dry, put a little bit of oil on them, some seasoned salt, and then I start them on a cold grill. And then it takes about an hour and 45 minutes. But what I'll do is every 15 minutes, I turn them. So one time I'll turn them back to front, and the other time I'll turn them top to bottom, and it's just they really slowly cook and they turn out super tender and super good. I take them to about 185, 188 degrees, and then at the end, like 5 minutes before they're done, I'll baste them with barbecue sauce, and then after another 5 minutes, I'll baste them again, and then they're done. It kind of lacquers them, and so they turn out really well. So I thought, you know what, how I usually cook a rack of pork is I put oil on the outside and I have a pea stew of fresh herbs, rosemary, thyme, and a lot of basil, some garlic, salt, and pepper, and I put that on the outside. It's almost like a paste. And then I grill it, but I grill it at normal, like medium-high temperatures. And it takes a while. It still takes like an hour, and it's pretty dark on the outside, but it's delicious. But I thought, what if I try to cook this like ribs? This is that same brain that tried to make snow cones just a couple days before. So I think this thing is so thick. If I do it like I do ribs, and I have two burners on low and two burners off, that'll take 7 days. So I think what I'll do is I'll just put all four burners on medium low. And instead of every 15 minutes, I'm going to do 12 minutes. That's what my brain came up with on its own. So I put it on a cold grill and I let it go for 12 minutes, and it's got a little bit of a grill mark. It looks really good. And then I just turn it like 90 degrees so you get a cross hatch, and I let it go 12 more minutes, and it was just fine. And then I flipped it over. It was on the bone side before, so now it's on the back, and there's a little bit of fat. And it's the middle of the day, so what I didn't, because I didn't know how long it would take, but I thought it would take at least 2 hours. So what you can't see when you grill during the day is when something is truly on fire. Because you can't see the smoke unless you're looking really hard, you know, and the flames really aren't that visible either, especially if they're blue. So anyway, what happened in that 12-minute, you know, the 24 to 36 minutes time segment was that fat dripped down and everything was completely ablaze. I mean, it was like a crematorium in there, and I didn't know. And so, you know how you get like, how come my timer hasn't gone off? It's close to 12 minutes, and I look out there, and I see the heat waves coming off the grill. And I look at the thermometer, which is not very like accurate, but it does say 750. And that thing, I don't know how long it's been aflame, but I'm trying to. Okay, so I go and I get my Kevlar gloves on and I get a broom handle so I can open up the grill. And then, you know, the fire gets controllable. And so I've got two sets of big long tongs and I'm trying to take the roast off of there. But every time I grab a bone, it just crumbles off.
Oh, my gosh.
It is truly cremated. It just is. Oh, my gosh. So I stuck a thermometer in it and the outside is crispy. So it like goes through crispiness into the inside. But the inside just registers 86. It's not done, right? It's completely burnt. So when I, and you're talking about this beef stew you made braising, when I burn a piece of beef, generally what I'll do is I will stick it in a braise because a lot of that burnt stuff kind of soaks off. And especially with pork, when it's getting too dry, like ribs, if you just brush oil on it, it's okay. Like if you lube it up, it's okay. So I just covered it in water, brought it to a simmer and stuck it in the oven for a couple hours. And it was edible, but it was still that loin part got pretty dry. So normally on the, when I cook it on a grill, I'll take that loin part to about 154 degrees. But when I braised it, it got up to 180, so it got too high, so it was pretty dry. But it wasn't as inedible as it was when I pulled it off the grill and it was ready for bearing. And seriously, I mean, any more of my cooking, I mean, I should just have a priest on retainer to administer last rites. Because do you remember I left that bratwurst on the grill for 7 minutes when I was talking to my friend Salty? And it lost like 7/8 of its weight, and it was like a pork chitlin or you know whatever those pork rinds are. Oh my gosh! So yeah, I'm gonna have to befriend a priest. So I did not have as successful a week as you did.
Oh well, I'm not sure I had a successful week because I'm racking my brain to think what else I cooked.
Well, there is good news out there. So you know that I care about the price of vanilla.
Yes.
More than I do a lot of my relatives. So we all know from listening to me constantly that the price of vanilla went up 6 or 7 times, you know, before the pandemic, which is really something. But just now, it's for the last 2 months, it's been coming down, 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 just like I defy inflation. I mean, it's like, it's got like, it says that out loud. And now it's only 1.5 times what it was. Like it's only 50% more than it was before it started going up.
3 or 4 years ago.
And I'm only doing these math problems because we're not allowed to say prices on public radio. But I mean, it's not even 2 packs of cigarettes for a pint of vanilla. Isn't that something?
Yes.
It's such good news. I bought half a gallon one now before I got here. I was at the store. I'm like, woo!
Doubly remarkable. The blight must be over because I know that, remember that they had the orchids.
Yeah.
They were having a problem with either the bugs that the moths that they need to, you know, or the plants themselves, which is what started that spiral up, and it just kept going, and then it got worse during the pandemic.
Some kind of disease and then
but
weather.
Vanilla comes to us from a long ways away, so it's surprising that it's getting cheaper. I'm really amazed.
Yeah, because you think with the shipping and everything.
Yeah. Well, it's anyway, nice to it's have a
news.
Bright spot.
I know. That's the bright spot.
Hey, do you ever make your own ramen? Do you ever make anything like ramen from scratch?
Boy, nothing that I could be proud of. Because I'm just, I do Chinese things, but just not so much Japanese or Korean. And and I think that's why only once have I ever bought one of those big things of ramen noodles that you can get at the Chinese grocery, you know, that's about 5 pounds. And the noodles were good. I don't know why I don't. I just don't.
Well, I'm gonna work on that this week. I really like ramen. I often will do, you know, not often, but periodically I will do just ramen, package ramen, and there's a zillion kinds from a zillion different countries out there. And if you're in an Asian grocery store, you can see almost all of them. They could be an entire aisle of just kinds of ramen. So I have favorites. And anyway, I will do that and then doll it up, you know, put extra veg in it, put a soft-boiled egg on top, a spoon of chili crisp, and, you know, I saw a recipe recently that had that insisted that you should put, you know, unwrap a square of American cheese, and it has to be American cheese.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not the first thing I've read about people insisting on American cheese. I think that's interesting because I always think
it's so meltable.
Yeah,
unlike other cheeses. I mean, that's true. Is the thing. It has that beta something in it. I mean, I used to know what it is because I experimented with that, making other cheeses as meltable, you know, doing this process with this chemical to make it as meltable as American cheese.
Well, there you go. I've never had a very good opinion of American cheese. And actually, quite frankly, I never have really considered it cheese. But but
alpha,
on the other...
Alpha-carrageenan. I think that's what it's called. I couldn't pull that out of the back of my brain.
Okay. And carrageenan is one of those things that sometimes you see in less than fabulous ice cream ingredients.
Yeah, I think it's an emulsifier.
I think
type
it might
thing.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just makes cheese into that very meltable process. Uh-huh. I mean, it's the process; it's the thing that they process it with,
right?
To make it that meltable thing.
There you go.
That doesn't look like.
And
cheese.
I gotta say, I've had some fabulous cheeseburgers with American cheese on them. So I shouldn't be so. I just don't buy it, and also I'm not really. I have a stinky attitude about any cheese that is sliced and individually wrapped.
Yeah, well, there's the packaging.
Yeah.
That part is bad. Well, and then did you put any in ramen? Did you try it?
No, I just saw it the other day.
Okay.
And actually, it was in an article written by somebody I follow a couple of food blogs, and it's somebody that I think, you know, I enjoy what they have to say about food. And then I was like, American cheese, what the? But, you know,
next.
I might try it. I might have to get out a package of ramen and try it. It seems like an odd thing to put on ramen. Anyway, I want to quickly say that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web, both fabulous organizations of which have incredibly informative and interesting websites. So KMUN.org or NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. I recommend them both.
Me too. what Marianne said.
What else? What else about home cooking, Linda?
Well, this is a while ago, so I wonder if I can even remember what I did. But I made a, where did I get the recipe? Maybe Food 52? Oh, it could have been anywhere. I should have come prepared, but I made a pound cake because...
Oh, I think it was Food 52, maybe.
Was it the one that you start cold in the oven?
I think so.
It works. So, yeah, I tried it. So, when I make zucchini bread, and it's not through any, like, you know, anything that I did, it's just the recipe I use. It has a really nice crust. I really like it.
Yeah.
And so they claim this recipe that if you start pound cake in a cold oven, that then it makes just a really... thick crust, like they said, it's like a quarter inch thick, which normally you wouldn't think would be very good. You know, you want your baked goods to be tender. But I love the crust on my zucchini bread, so I wanted to try it. And it really is delicious.
Oh.
It's delicious, like, the first couple days. And then it turns into what you would not want on pound cake.
Uh-huh.
But because it gets, like, damp. Not damp, but... just not crisp.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's kind of like, it's like caramelized. It's really delicious. And so that was interesting. There's nothing, I can't think of really anything except for pork, wrecks of pork that I start on a cold, and that's a cold grill, but starting a cold oven. I know there's like a whole movement of starting things in a cold oven, but I just don't understand it enough just to do it willy-nilly, but this turned out really good.
So you put it in a cold oven and set the oven to like 350 and let it preheat?
Yeah, so the only difference is you didn't preheat it. It's just you set it and then you let it come up to that, but it does something different.
Well, because during the preheat, all the elements are on, you know what I mean? I would think that it would be I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to decide because is accelerated heating between 150 and 200, does that matter? You know, because it's not very hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. And because my brain was busy trying to figure out shaved ice, I didn't have time to think of it.
Well, I mean, we don't actually have to think of it. If you try it and it works, you know,
Just like my zucchini bread. I love that crust. I have no idea why that forms a crust and my banana bread doesn't, but I love it. So,
I love it too. I love that zucchini bread. And it makes me think that one time I had a pound cake that, you know, if you're two people in a house, even just a loaf pan of zucchini bread or pound cake is a lot. Mm-hmm. It's too much to eat before it's past its perfect moment, you know. And so often I will whack it in half and put half of it in the freezer or something. But I also one time didn't do that. And then it went past the point where it was really delicious. And I cubed it up and made like basically croutons out of it.
Oh, yeah. And what did you do with them?
Put them on a sheet pan and toasted them in the oven till they got pretty dried out, and then used them in like a ersatz trifle.
Oh, what a good idea.
Instead of, you know, what would you usually use, like lady fingers or something? I don't know, in a trifle. But
whatever you have.
It works great with
cake.
Either custard or whipped cream and fresh fruit and these crunchy little croutons of pound cake. It's good.
That's a good idea. I'm making a coconut cream pie here pretty quick, and I think I'm going to make extra pastry cream because there's just so much you can do with pastry cream in it.
Yeah,
it keeps a while in the fridge, and then you can just whip it out and be like, look honey, I made mini banana cream pies, aren't I something?
Ooh,
great.
Yes you are. Yes is the answer.
Crumble up a graham cracker, slice up some bananas, and voila, pastry cream. It's a mini pie.
Just pastry cream. Could I just please have a bowl and a spoon? Oh, that stuff.
Grandma to call it pudding.
Yes. I used to work with one of my favorite chefs who was working at a special event with another chef who was like into all of the TV appropriate language for every single thing. And so when it came to the bechamel, my friend said, oh, you mean white gravy. And I love that.
That's what my mom called
It is. It's white gravy. I'm sorry, but if you're not French, it's white gravy. And you grew up in the South, that's what it is. Let's not get too carried away
too
with ourselves.
Hey, you gave me some compostable washcloths quite a while ago to try. Yeah, and they don't die.
No.
They're like, I mean, I use some compostable bags for plastic bags.
Yes.
And you got to be careful. You know, if you get those wet, you've got just a couple days, you know.
Yeah.
But man, these things are indestructible.
Yes, and I toss them in a laundry load with bus towels and kitchen towels and bleach that. Put it on the sanitized cycle and bleach it. Mm-hmm. And then I pull them out before I toss everything else in the dryer. And they don't go, I just let them dry.
Okay.
You know, I stack them up and put them in the pantry and they just dry and get a little like warpy looking.
Yeah.
But I have some that I've been using for years.
Really? I wonder because I haven't. What happens if you put them in the dryer?
They get really crispy, but nothing bad except for if you do that all
like
the time.
Like my pork.
Yeah, exactly. They just get crispy, and they don't last as long if you do that every time, and I like them to last.
Because I hadn't even been putting them in the washer. I put them in the dishwasher when I do a cycle, and I just, you know, sanitize them that way.
Yeah. I think there probably are multiple brands of those, but these ones that I got, if you subscribe to Food 52, which is a food blog. Mm-hmm. You will also see sometimes in there they have their idea of great kitchen related stuff. And I think that that's where I got the information about these guys. But I do really like them, and they have now become my favorite hostess gift, which normally I would not consider anything that does a chore a gift.
Yeah, and
I hope my husband is not, I'm confident he's not listening to this, but I don't want him to know that it's possible that a thing that does a chore could be a gift, because no, yeah. But they're really great. And I like them because they, I don't like sponges. I just don't them. They're creepy.
Yeah, they get so smelly.
Yeah, they're creepy. Yeah. And when you put them through the dishwasher or something to, you know, which I can do with everything else, like the green scrubby things, I just toss them in the dishwasher along with everything at the end of the night. But a sponge will just sit in there and drip afterwards forever, and then I feel like I should wash everything again. I mean, I don't know. I think sponges have seen better days. Oh, they're good for washing your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think?
What else have you been making? You said you tried something that didn't work.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what it was? It was corned beef and cabbage.
Oh, really?
Which I wanted to do the end of March. Mm-hmm. And I've made it, you know, once a year.
Yeah.
Forever.
Open the bag, boil.
Yeah, right. It's yeah. just not a big deal. But I got this recipe off of New York Times, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to try something new. And it was terrible.
I'm so sorry.
It was terrible. First of all, I bought a really nice corned beef from a local grocery store done locally and didn't have the package. You know, it was not like hermetically sealed with a little package of
Cryovac.
So I just looked up on the interwebs, and I made a little spice packet of my own, which I had everything that they called for, and used that. But what was missing was a whole lot of liquid. It just didn't call for anywhere near enough liquid, and everything was really dry. And by the time I realized that it was not going to rehab itself, like a half hour before it's done, you got to put in the veg. And I looked in there and was like, what? That is not right.
I'm sorry.
It was terrible.
And that was a good corned beef, too.
I know. It was a crime. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I should probably write to them and go, you want to review that recipe? Because really, seriously, I'm pretty sure there should have been like 2 or 3 cups more of something in there. Anyway, so it kind of took the sheen off of the idea of corned beef and cabbage for me right now.
Yeah.
I do have a half a head of cabbage, though, so left.
Which make coleslaw. That's kind of more fitting if it quit snowing.
Yeah, what? I don't know that it ever will. I feel like it never will.
So the other day, I could hear the dogs barking. And they're on the whole other side of the house, so it's kind of a subconscious thing. It was like 3:30 in the morning, and I was so asleep. I mean, I was asleep. So I got my carcass, like, on the edge of the bed, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, there's nothing I can do for these dogs, because, I mean, I was just so sleepy. And so I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and I was fixing to get back in. I got back in bed. And then Dale said, he said, did you see that flashlight? And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, like through the window on the ceiling. And I'm like, no. And I swear to God, this is exactly what he said. Oh, and I said, the dogs are just barking like crazy. And he said, oh, okay, that's probably it. And then I swear this is what he said. I swear these are the exact words he said. Well, it's probably nothing. And he rolled over to go back to sleep. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. So I'm in bed. And I am, you know, essentially asleep. But anyway, what it was lightning. And the dogs were barking because of the thunder, but it was just so funny.
Oh my gosh. On that note, we gotta go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I think that's an excellent closing note. It's probably nothing.
It's probably nothing. He was right.
Thank you, Linda Perkins.
Thank you, Marianne.
See you in a couple weeks, everybody.
Is it my chicken or my dumplings that keeps him coming?